Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
We are in the final week. Sorry, how many of the tech guys and all the people that serve as volunteers here in our church, they never get noticed unless something goes wrong. And so how many of you want to thank them for everything they do every week? Because they do things so seamlessly here, and that was my fault. So you said, can't you figure out all these buttons? And boy, you can't figure out one switch. Can you imagine being back there going, boy, everything we do, you can't flip one switch? But they love me anyway. We're in the fourth week of Hope for All. It's a Christmas series where we're trying to talk to you about Jesus came to provide hope for all. And really, for all. Say it out loud, all people. And my hope today is that when you leave, not only do you have a message about why Jesus came and how he provides hope for all, but do you experience that hope today by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit? I'm only going to speak about 25 minutes or so, and then we're going to go into the presence of God, and we're going to wait in his presence, and because he's alive. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am right there in the midst of them. Say it out loud, he's here right now. He really is, and he wants to manifest his presence in your life, in my life, personally today, because he's our Father and he loves us. Jesus died to provide hope for all, but sometimes I think if you were to go to the average person who is not a Christian and ask them, what did Jesus come to do? I think most of them would say, I guess to start a religion. If you were asked them, what does the church provide, Jesus' church, many of them would tell you, well, they have very strong opinions on this issue and that issue. But they not necessarily, sadly, would not talk about the real reason Jesus came. And it really is to provide hope for all. And I want to read you a story just out of the scripture of when the angels appeared to the shepherds in the field. How many of you know that's it's an amazing thing that happened when Jesus came born of a virgin in the earth? And I'm going to talk to you a little bit today about the necessity of the virgin birth and why that's significant as a believer, to understand that and to believe that. It's extremely important. But let me start by telling you something I did a while back that was not the best thing to do at Christmas. On a Christmas Eve, many years ago, back when we were on the other side of the building, I did a message, and I still think it was a great message, about the genealogies in the book of Matthew, about through Jesus, and there were four women in the genealogy, and two of them were prostitutes. And I was talking about how God used people that others would overlook. And instead of using the word prostitute, I used a word that starts with W, and I grew up with brothers, you know, and right after that service, we go out into the hallway and we go to greet people. We go outside the door. This is one of Steve Moore's favorite moments in his life because he said Michelle started like a rabbit chihuahua. He said, like, what is wrong with you? It's Christmas Eve. Can't you just be normal and read the scriptures out of Christmas? And she's like, are you crazy? And I'm like, what? She said, do you know your daughter, 8 years old, Alexa, sitting by her mom, and literally, she says, Mom, what's a whore? She said, baby, people don't come. I have issues, okay? Can I tell you why men like coming to this church? Because when they leave, they feel better about themselves. I said, I'm not as messed up as that guy, and he's the pastor. So I want to go traditional, take you to the shepherds in the field. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. How many of you would be afraid as well? Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be to all people. For this day is born to you, this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with that angel a multitude of angels of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, and this has to be in unison or you wouldn't be able to understand what they said. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, and God's goodwill toward men. This really happened. And I love that God showed himself through angelic visitation, not to a king in a palace, but to a shepherd in a field at night. And I don't know if you've ever been out in an environment where there are no lights. And in that case, there would be no city lights at all. It's dark as dark can be. And all of a sudden, an angel appears, and the glory of God, which is shining like probably the noonday sun. And these guys are looking at an angel. Now, I have to tell you, I don't care who you are, how tough you are. I think if you're a Green Beret and you have been mixed with a Navy SEAL, that is messing you up. And he said, don't be afraid. And then he made a declaration. He said, because tonight, God is coming to earth. And what I'm bringing you is good news of great joy, which will be to all people. That's why again and again you'll hear me say that this church exists to help all people. This is where it came from. To help all people realize that God loves them unconditionally. Jesus came for all people, not just for the Jewish people. He came for every person of every tongue and every kindred and every tribe and every nation. And he said, but I'm bringing you, this is going to be great news for all people, not just for a select group. And then he went on to say, and then the angels all appeared together. And now a multitude, which is maybe tens of thousands. Can you imagine? You're looking and all of a sudden one angel, and now all of a sudden you see tens of thousands, and they're all worshiping God together. And then they all proclaim to each in one voice, and you're hearing it. It's an amazing statement. He said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, and God's goodwill toward men. They weren't saying that there would be an absence of wars. That's not what he was saying by peace. He was saying that God and sinners are about to be reconciled, because when sin entered the world, there was enmity or division brought between God and man, because a holy God cannot have sin in his presence. And he said, this, what I'm pronouncing to you tonight, that the Savior of the world is coming into the earth, and he is going to bring peace between God and man, and man is going to experience the goodwill of God. And most people don't see God's will as good. In fact, when horrible things happen, people talk about the will of God, and it's just the opposite. The scripture said, every good and perfect gift comes down from our Father, with whom there is no variableness, not even so much as a shadow of turning. God is good. He is good singularly, and he is good all the time. And there is no darkness in him. And the amazing thing that happened is that they were pronouncing that that which separated man from God would be hope to all. There's hope for all because all have sinned and all need a Savior. I don't care what your belief is, whether you believe in God, whether you don't, whether you're agnostic, atheist, doesn't matter. There is no human being on the earth that will legitimately look at you and tell you they've never made a mistake or failed or what we would call sinned or done wrong. You say, well, I'm married to one, but that's another subject for another day. We won't go there, but every human being has tasted sin, and that sin cannot stand in the presence of a holy God. Now, Joseph, who was engaged to Mary to be Mary, the mother of Jesus. And in that day, when you were engaged, it was almost, you could say, it was like a marriage already. In fact, if you were to break an engagement, it was actually called a divorce or a putting away, which is the same terminology. And Joseph, you know, he loves Mary. They're engaged. They're going to get married. And all of a sudden, he finds out his bride-to-be is pregnant. And the Bible said that Joseph was a good man and a just man, and he did not want to expose Mary to public shame, so he was going to divorce her privately. In other words, he was saying, obviously, how many of you know if you're dating a woman and she's pregnant and you have not been with that woman, you probably have issues. I'll try this side of the church. I'd have me some issues, right? And can you imagine Joseph? Or if you go, if you're a guy and you, hey, how did you get pregnant? And they go, God did this. Right? I mean, come on, really? Are you going to buy that? And Joseph is, I need to move on. And I want you to see what happens when the angel appears to him to deal with this issue. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 says this. But after he had considered this, with that, of course, what had happened to Mary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him and said in a dream, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. That's why Jesus came, to pay a debt that he didn't owe, to reconcile the sin of man in the holiness of God. I don't know if you've ever read any books by Max Lucado, but he's a great author. I heard him speak recently, was listening to different podcasts and heard him do a message. And he tells the story of a friend of his who is a judge in this region of a county and has a pretty significant role in. And a good friend of the judge, they're having coffee, and he said, hey, listen, I just got this crazy speeding ticket. I mean, it's expensive. And he slid it across the table, and he said, would you take care of this for me? And the judge just didn't say a word. He said, absolutely, and he took it. And so, you know, a couple, 3 weeks later, his friend said, hey, thanks for taking care of that ticket for me. He said, I didn't take care of it. He said, what do you mean you didn't take care of it? He said, no. He said, I paid it for you. He said, why would you pay for it? He said, well, you were guilty, right? He said, well, yeah. He said, for me to be a righteous judge, I can't overlook what you did wrong, but I can pay for it. So I paid your fine. I didn't eliminate what you did. I know what you did, but I wasn't going to do something illegal to benefit you. I just paid it for you. That's exactly what Jesus did. You see, the sin of man is so grievous before a holy and a righteous God that it demands punishment. It demands punishment because God is holy. But God so loved this world that he gave his very own son, born of a woman, born of a virgin, so that the very wrath of God, or the penalty that was due me, he would take the punishment himself. It's an incredible thing for the mercy of God to be known, and that the God of the universe would actually robe himself in human flesh and take a body to pay a debt that he didn't owe. How could he love us that much? The God that made all things, how could he love us so intimately that he would desire to restore and redeem us? That's why I say over and over again that we exist to help all people realize that God loves them unconditionally, because Jesus died for people without him. But it had to be done through a man. And what we find is when Jesus now grows to the age of around 30, 33 or so, and he's about to step into this public ministry for about three and a half years, and then he's going to die on a cross, he's announced. His public stepping into ministry is announced by his cousin, John the Baptist. And I want to show you when John was baptizing out in the River Jordan, and John was a prophet of God. I want you to see what John said when Jesus came to John at the River Jordan in John 1:29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, if you don't understand the Old Testament, or if you're not Jewish, that won't mean much to you. But if you were a Jewish person, you knew that instituted under the Old Testament was a sacrificial offering of lambs through a high priest every year. And that sacrifice of a lamb without blemish, without spot, it had to be perfect, would cover the sins of the people, because the scripture says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And so every year the people were reminded of the consequence of their sin through the death of an innocent animal. And John no longer, he's saying to the Jewish people, no longer is the shadow and the type and the picture that the Old Testament tabernacle kept pointing to. It's over. Behold the Lamb of God. He will bear the sin of the world. The same angel that said, and he will save my people from their sins. Here's how he would do it. He would take your sin and my sin and bear it on himself and then bear the punishment that came with it. That's what Jesus came to do. He bore the sin of the world, and he would be offered up in my place and in your place, and he would bear the punishment that was due me. And Isaiah the prophet, 740 years before Jesus came, spoke prophetically about his coming. So often people say to me, and in our world today, it's people are somewhat hostile about everything. And I hear people say so emphatically things like, well, you know, the Bible, it's a myth, or, you know, the Bible has contradictions and all this stuff people say about this book. And I understand why they say it, because someone else said it and they heard someone else say it. Years ago, a college professor contacted our church and said, our class, I'd like to bring my class to meet with you, because I'd like them to be exposed and be able to talk to a mega church pastor. Well, I hate the term, but I understood, and I thought it would be some fun. And so I said, yeah, I'd be happy to. So the class came down, and we're meeting together, and you know the questions you're going to get. And the first question was this. You know, the Bible is full of contradictions. So can you, how do you live your life by it when it's so full of contradictions? I said, okay. I said, well, let me ask you a question. Show me one. I said, can anyone here show me one? Silence. I said, is it possible that you have been indoctrinated instead of educated? Because if it's full of contradictions, you should be able to show me one. I said, I can show you about 10 that may appear to be contradictions because I know this book. You can't show me one. But yet you conclude that this book is not what it says it is. And I said, no offense to your professor, but I wouldn't trust my soul to her. I wouldn't trust my soul to me. Because she told you that it's true? Really? There are over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament pointing to one man, Jesus, given over thousands of years through different languages, different cultures, different times, people of different education, 300 plus prophecies pointing to one man. Daniel prophesied the very day, the very year that he would die on a cross, the very year. 300 things pointing to him. I'm about to just show you two of them. 300. The statistical likelihood of 2,000 plus years, many authors over different cultures pointing to one man's coming, and one man coming and it all coming to pass in 33 years would be one in one bazillion to the one bazillionth power. That's what you call evidence. So people say, well, you know, you're just, you know, those, you know, kind of backwoods, blind, stupid Christian people that look at a Bible. Listen to me. I'm not trying to look. I'm going to be dead someday. So will you. You could talk to God about your views. You'll get to. But what I'm trying to say to you is, don't trust your soul to people who listen to other people, who listen to other people, who listen to other people, who all live and all who die. Find out that is there a God that loves you enough that he died for you? It's an incredible thing to know that he loves you. And Isaiah prophesied 740 years before the coming of Christ these words in Isaiah 9, verse 6. He said, for unto us a child is born, but unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Isaiah said there will be a child born who will be called God in the flesh. The Prince of Peace, he would be the one to bring peace between God and man. I don't have time to read to you Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, but it is a perfect picture of the life of Jesus, the death of Jesus, the burial of Jesus. Literally says that it would please the Father to crush him because he laid the iniquity of us all upon him. 740 years before he came. This is just two. This will be the third. Isaiah 7:14. Then the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. God throughout the Old Testament used what we would call types and shadows and images to point toward a Savior. And he said, there will come a day when a virgin will conceive a child. And that child will be God with you. Now, here's the reality, guys. Either Jesus was who he is and said he was, or he's a lunatic. When people say, well, you know, Jesus was a great prophet. No. If he was not who he said he was, if he died to substantiate a lie and a fraud, or he was just crazy enough to believe it, then I would never follow someone like that because he proclaimed himself to be the Son of God. Let me ask you a question. If you went into downtown Pittsburgh, okay, and you're going down like you're walking on a street there, okay, and you see this guy there and he got a sign and he says, hey, I'm a son of God, okay? You got to repent because I'm God. I'm a son of God. How many youngs are going to go, hey, I'm going to follow you? I'm from Western Pennsylvania, so I can do this. If you're not from around here, don't do no Pittsburgh accent in that, okay? That's rude. You're rude, okay? Now, how many of you are going to look to that guy and he says, hey, I'm a son of God. Young's got to follow me, okay? And we'll go watch the Star Wars when we're done. Is there anybody here that's going to go, yeah, I'll follow him? You're going to go, that guy needs help. If Jesus wasn't who he said he was, then don't say he was a great prophet. He was a nut job. He died for this. What are you, crazy? See, that's what I'm trying to get. I want you to see the clarity today. Either he is who he said he was, or he was nuts and dismissed everything he was and said. Shouldn't follow a fraud. I think that'd be crazy. You'd tell your kids not to. But he said a virgin would conceive. Galatians in the New Testament tells us what this child would do. Oh, for the mercy of God. Oh, how merciful he's been to us. Galatians 4 says this. But when the right time came, the time God decided on, he sent his son, born of a woman, born as a Jew, to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own sons. I want you to grasp what he said. He said that he would come and he would purchase your freedom. His life would be the sacrifice and the punishment that was due me. And when he gave his life on that cross, the scripture said that the wrath of God for the sin of man, the sin of the whole world, was poured out on him. And Jesus, as he hung on this cross, cried out these words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Which was actually in the book of Psalms that he would say those exact words, and he did. Why was he forsaken of his father? How does the God three in one separate? I don't know. But why did the father turn his back on the son? Why was he forsaken? Because the father cannot stand in the presence of sin. And Jesus had never sinned in his life. He was a spotless lamb. And when he hung on that cross, and he bore the sin of the world, the Father and he were separated. And he felt, and he cried out, why have you forsaken me? It wasn't because he was on a cross. It was because the intimacy, they were one, it stopped. The price that was paid for you, that's why there's hope for all. Because it doesn't matter how you got where you got today, of your own choices or maybe bad choices of other people. There's hope for every one of us, every last one of us, not just in life, but in death. In the last months or so in our church, there have been many families who have had loved ones pass away, and many of you have lost loved ones in this past year. I spent last week spending a lot of time talking about that. And boy, when you lose, particularly when it's untimely, it's devastating. But do you know the Bible said the last enemy to be put underfoot is death itself? Do you know that the scripture said, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? Because even though we're separated for a time and our hearts are broken through the separation, there's coming a time when even death itself bows its knee to a Savior. And we are reunited in the presence of God where there's no more sin, no more sorrow, no more suffering. The scripture said no more pain, The former things will pass away, and we will be together, together with one another forever. See, when people die, listen to me, please. Well, you know, God needed an angel. They're not angels. People don't die and morph into an angel. They are who they are, and you will know them as they are in heaven. And they're not on some cloud playing a harp. Listen, if I have to listen to harp music throughout eternity, that's hell, not heaven. You will be known as you know. You will know God as face to face in his presence. And it won't be some boring, I'm talking about like the last second touchdown in the Super Bowl when the Steelers beat the Arizona Cardinals. That feeling, if you watch the game, that's how you're going to feel for an eternity in the presence of God. Because people don't want to go to heaven. They're like, what am I going to do? I'll be bored. No, man, I'm telling you, it's amazing what is available to every person, not just in life, but even in death. And you're never without hope in this life. He said, I will be an ever-present help in times of trouble. Come boldly to the throne of grace, the scripture said, through Jesus, that you might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Then lastly, Ephesians 1 verse 7 says this, talking about our God. He's so overflowing in his kindness. Boy, people don't see God that way, but they should. So overflowing in his kindness toward us that he took away all of our sins through the blood of his son by whom we are saved. Jesus shed blood for you and for me so you could be saved from your sin and my sin. And you can have an intimate relationship with your, not now just God, but your heavenly Father. That when any person would accept Christ in their life, he turns no one away. He doesn't just wash away your sin. He makes you brand new and he calls you his own, a son or a daughter of the living God. And you get to live that way with him for eternity. And you don't have to wait to die. You could start right now. But I know that God's presence does things that nothing and no one else can. So I want us to go into the presence of God just for a moment. And I've purposely structured our services to give us time to be able to just wait. So the service isn't nearly over. This is what we came to this point. Because I want you to have the opportunity today, whether you've known the Lord for years or maybe you don't even know God, to experience the presence of God right now in your life. That includes if you're watching online. It doesn't matter. God shows up. He's God. Because Jesus died so that you could know God. Jesus died so that you could find freedom in your life. Jesus died so you could discover your purpose, and Jesus died so that you could make an impact with your life. You could live the life you were meant to live. Today, I'm wearing our freedom shirt from our freedom conference or retreat that we had yesterday. They had a blast. It was incredible. 2,800 plus people have gone through it in our church. It's amazing. Small groups will change your life. Because you get with people and you get in the presence of God and he changes everything. See, God doesn't go into a room and just kind of hang out. Jesus shows up, he changes stuff. Religion just says, the Lord be with you and also with you. Let's try it again. The Lord be with you. Now, I understand you mean, but you know, you could just say that like, the Lord be with you and also with you. The Lord be with you and also with you. What's he with you for? To be a spectator? Lord, this is difficult. I'm with you. Yeah, it is. Difficult. Difficult. He said, I am an ever-present help in times of trouble. He doesn't want to be a spectator. He's not a hitchhiker through life. He wants to be in my everyday life, your everyday life, and show up where you need him the most. Because he is an ever-present help in times of trouble. And oh, how he loves you. He loves you. He loves you more times and more ways and more deeply than we can ever fathom because it's who he is. Let's go into his presence and pray that God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, will do something in this room that only he can do, because there's so many different needs in this room right now. But God knows every one of them, and he knows your life and he knows mine. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence today. We thank you for a Savior that provided hope for all. We are so honored to worship you. We are so honored to be called your own. And Father, I thank you that you said that the Holy Spirit himself, that's you, the Godhead, God the Holy Spirit, will manifest his presence among us and bring gifts that you cannot earn. Holy Spirit, I pray now that your presence would fall in this room on every life. Your presence, that they would experience your presence. That they would experience not just your presence, but your power. And we wait in your presence and we worship you. Jesus, I thank you for the blood that was spilled out of your veins that gave me access to my God and my sin washed away. As Jesse sings this song, just be reverent in your heart. Listen to the words. Keep your eyes closed. And begin to let God do something great in your soul today. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. We worship you. Father, I thank you for your presence in this room. I thank you for manifesting what each person needs right now. I thank you that hopelessness that could be so buried deeply into the soul of a person that they just see no way out. It is a permanent prison. Holy Spirit, I thank you for moving in that heart right now and breaking those bonds, breaking those lies, delivering them from the prison of those lies that says it will be this way and stay this way. It will not. For you are more than enough and nothing is impossible with you. I thank you for your healing power and the virtue of your power that sweeps this room. I worship you. I worship you. There's two things in my heart. The first one is this. If you're here today, listen to me, please. This is the presence of our God specifically into your life. When I was saying that about hopelessness, that was not out of my head. That was out of my heart. There's gifts of the Holy Spirit. One is called a word of knowledge, which is the revelation that's given to a person by the Holy Spirit of the condition in a person's life in the present or the past. It's just a fragment. It's not everything. It's just a word. But when I talked about hopelessness as a prison, I don't mean you had a bad week. I mean you're trapped. You're trapped in maybe some type of sin or even some type of behavior, bondage, maybe just hopeless, just maybe it's depression. And you're being treated and you're trying to get the help you need, but you just are trapped. And you're fighting, you're doing everything you know to do, or maybe you've given up. But you're not alone. Hope is not something that you'll find in you or another person. Hope is in him. And when you come into his presence here or in your daily life, he wants to show up and break those prison bondage doors down. Jesus wants to make you free. He came for freedom so that you could live in freedom every day. If you're here today with every head bowed and every eye closed, and that's you. And again, I'm not talking about a bad day. I'm talking about a condition that I don't ever see myself getting out of this. I just feel like this is permanent. Every head is bowed, every eyes closed, right where you're seated. I want you to acknowledge before God that's you. And I'm not going to embarrass you or make you do anything. Then I'm just going to pray for you right where you're seated, for you to experience his presence in a way that maybe you never have before. If that's you right now, just lift your hand right where you are. It's just acknowledging it to God. If you're watching online or watching this or listening later, there's no time with God. He's available right now. You can put your hands down. If you raised your hand, let me pray for you. Or if you were just so burdened, I can't even raise my hand. And now God won't help me. No, he loves you. Father, for every person who raised their hand or even should have, I pray right now that the power of the Holy Spirit come upon them. The grace of our God to overshadow them now. And for the power of our God to go into that prison cell right now and to bring hope, like the angel shone in the darkness, to illuminate that place and drive the lies out that there is no tomorrow, there is no hope, that this is the best my life will be. I, in the name of Jesus, take authority over the lies that are binding them and imprisoning them. And Father, I thank you for the light of your presence that brings hope where there is none. I pray that over every soul in this room, as our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, also in my heart, to pray for those of you who need healing in your body. If you need healing in your body, minor to serious, it's very quickly lift your hand right now, and I want to pray for you as well. Father, for every person that raised their hand, I thank you for the gifts of healings and even the working of miracles to fall in this room. Thank you for your healing power to fall now, to do a work in people's bodies right now by your power. I thank you, Father, right now. I say by faith that the healing power of God they are receiving now by faith. And I proclaim by faith that it is working in them, causing them to be made whole in whatever area of their life, whatever malady. I speak life over them. In Jesus' name, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, or you're not sure, perhaps you've been committed in a religious way to God. Maybe you've gone to church, and I'm all for that. That's a great thing. And maybe you say, well, no, I'm a Christian. I was baptized as a baby. I'm sure that was a wonderful event for your family, but that didn't make you a Christian. Jesus died. He's the only way, the only truth, the only life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Putting water on a baby, that's not it. I was confirmed. That's a beautiful thing, but it won't make you a Christian. Why come to Victory? I'm glad it won't make you a Christian. Have you ever acknowledged that you need a Savior and invited Jesus into your life and received the gift of eternal life and the payment that he made for you? If I were to offer you today to pay off all of your natural debts, and I had a check here for you to pay every debt you had off, and you left the room and never took it, it wouldn't matter that I was willing. You have to receive that payment. Jesus died just for you, but he only comes by invitation. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here watching online or listening later or watching later, Jesus will turn no one away. If you believe he's the Son of God, he died on a cross for your sin, was buried and rose from the dead and offers you eternal life, all you have to do is to invite him into your life. He turns no one away. When he comes, your sin debt is vanished. And you will not just be a servant of God, but now a child of God, born of God. It's an amazing thing that Jesus came to do. This is what Christmas is about right here. This is why he came. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. I want to invite Christ in my life as well. Please pray for me. Right where you're seated, or maybe you have and you're just so far from God and you feel like, man, I don't walk with God anymore and I want that relationship restored and renewed. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed, right where you're seated. Those of you online as well, just simply raise your hand right where you're at and I'll pray for you. Do it right now and we're going to pray right where you're seated. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Listen, if you raised your hand or should have, pray this out loud where you hear it with your own ears. Jesus will come into your heart. He will never leave you and never forsake you. Pray it where you hear it, and we'll pray it with you. Say out loud where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you through Jesus Christ. My life has been stained by sin, and I need a Savior. Jesus, I believe with all my heart you are the Savior of the world. You came and died for me. You are the Son of God. You died and were buried, and you rose from the dead. I accept you and receive you now as the Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. You turn no one away. My sin is eliminated. And when I die, I am heaven bound. Jesus, you are the Lord of my life. Amen. Amen. Give them a hand, would you? Best decision of your life.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.